Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from Him who lives and reigns, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, saying to him to test him, "Teacher, which is the greatest of the commandments?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends the whole law and the prophets." Thus far the word of the Lord our God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's Tuesday in our context. It's Tuesday of Holy Week. And things are heating up. An expert in the law comes up to Jesus and asks him a question. And what's interesting about that question, you see, it wasn't just a random question, nor was it just a random moment. Some guy saying, "You know, there was something I was thinking about, and now I have the chance to ask him." No, it wasn't a random moment. It wasn't a random question. There was something else going on behind the scenes. But you see, this was part of a huge conspiracy behind the scenes. This was part of a huge plot, dear friends, behind the scenes. The public didn't see what was going on. They were meeting in secret. To figure out how to destroy this Jesus of Nazareth. Clandestine meetings, secret rendezvous. Any of that happen in our government? Any secret meetings taking place, maybe to prevent a Supreme Court nominee who happens to believe murdering children and a baby in the mothers of their wombs is wrong? Any secret meetings taking place in higher places? They met in secret, you see. To plot and to plan and to conspire, to see if they could somehow trap this Jesus fellow. For they wanted to get him to kind of break God's law so that they had charges to bring against him so that they could put him on that tree, on that cross, and take his life from him. What's so amazing is that they were oblivious, you see. They were oblivious, I'd like to think, that they were becoming here Satan's tools and were Satan's tools. Tools of the devil. And so often evil is just like that. Evil believes it's doing right. Evil believes it's doing everything like it should, while all along working for Satan. You see, the devil doesn't like the truth. He doesn't like God's truth. He tries to destroy it anytime he can. And you yourself have experienced that, haven't you, as a Christian? Baptized, called, redeemed, and justified. You've experienced that as well, haven't you? It's hard to speak God's truth to your coworkers. It's hard to speak God's truth to those people at school. It's hard to preach or teach or to speak God's truth to your neighbors. And sometimes even our own families make fun of us for that. And so the teacher came, the lawyer came, with a burning question to Jesus. After the plots and the meetings were over, he found him. And friends of Christ, it wasn't the first time that this happened. It wasn't the second time this happened. This was the third time that this happened, you see, with less than 2 days. In less than 2 days, they were after him, and they're finding a way to get him. The devil, you see, he doesn't stop. He's looking always for a way. The devil is relentless. Luther once said, if he can't make it in through your front door, he's going to try and get in through a window somewhere. And if he can't get in through a window somewhere, he's going to try and tear in through the roof somewhere. And if he can't get in through the roof somewhere, he's going to try and find a crack in your walls somewhere. Dear friends of Christ, do you have a crack in your spiritual life somewhere where Satan can find a way in? What did Peter say? Be on guard, for your adversary, the devil, is prowling about looking for someone to devour. And he attacked Jesus during Holy Week. The trickster came up to him. Oh, oozing with sincerity. Oozing with sincerity. It's funny how evil can put on such a sincere face, and so many buy into it. He came up to Jesus with such a sincere face. Teacher, what is the greatest of the commandments? He said. For we all love the law, don't we? We all just love God's law, don't we? Oh, the sincerity oozing. But deep down inside, he was hoping to trick him. Deep down inside, he was hoping to trap him. Deep down inside, he was hoping to get him to say something that would break God's law. Deep down inside, he was hoping that Jesus would maybe, perhaps, major in some minor thing and throw God out altogether. Friends, have you ever majored in a minor, leaving God out in your life? Has the church ever majored in a minor anywhere, leaving God out? And the devil laughs. Because he got them to split over what color their carpeting should be. Or because he got them to split over whether to use rice or birdseed at a wedding. Indeed, he's clever. Satan is. But Jesus, you see, is clever still. For what did the scripture say? He's the Word. He's the wisdom from on high. And so Jesus could see right through this fellow. He could see right through his motivations, right into his heart. For what did Thomas once say? Lord, you know all things. And so Jesus, as he always did, answered with an answer that could not be refuted. Lawyer boy, greatest of the commandments? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And they listened. And yes, as we hear that, it sounds familiar. It does sound familiar because we know our catechisms, right? We keep our catechisms right next to the Bible, right? Especially when the pastor comes over. It's right there. Where's our Bible, hon? Get it out. Here comes the pastor. I think it's under the Cabela's catalog. It It sounds familiar, his answer. Yes, and it is familiar. It's a summary of the two tables of the law. It's a summary of the two tables of the Ten Commandments. There is Moses coming down off that mountain, covered with smoke and fire, thundering. Don't touch this mountain lest you die, God said. Indeed, no one can get to heaven by works of the law. And he came down with two tablets in his hands. And one of those tablets teach us how to love God with a perfect love. And one of those tablets teach us how to love neighbor, our neighbor, with a perfect love. And as we hear Jesus answer, there's a word, indeed a single word, that jumps out. Agapao. It comes from agape, the highest form of love, a sacrificial love. The one word that sums it all up is the word love. Love sums it up. For you see, God didn't give us the Ten Commandments to deprive us of fun in life. He didn't give us the Ten Commandments to ruin our existence here on earth. He gave us the commandments, you see, dear friends, to show us what love looks like. To show us what love looks like. And in the beginning, yes, it was written in our hearts. For that's what it means, an integral part of what it means to be made in the image of God, in the Imago Dei. For God is love, and in the beginning we loved as God loved. We loved him with a whole love, and we loved our neighbor with a whole love. It was in our hearts in the beginning. And yes, dear friends, I don't know if you often consider, but what a blessing it is for a nation to have Christians in it. What a blessing it is for a nation to have Christians in it, those that have been washed in the blood and cleansed in a holy flood. What a blessing it is for a nation to have Christians in it. For those Christians show that nation what love is. When we honor God as the one and only, when we honor his name as the name above all names, when we love his word and love his truth, we show the world what it means to love God. When we love our parents, though they are imperfect, when we love the authorities, though they are imperfect, when we love life, when we love and honor marriage, when we honor the possessions that others have, when we honor the truth that comes forth from our lips, we're showing the world what love looks like. And it's the presence of the Christians in a nation that civilized that nation. It's the presence of the Christians in that nation that make it a place of true care and concern, of true love. You see, that's why they hated Jesus. The Pharisees, they knew nothing of love. They knew nothing of love. All their commandment keeping was driven by cold, hard pride. All their commandment keeping was driven by cold, hard duty. There was no love in it. And as a result, they drove all the sinners away from them. And yes, sometimes we're like that too. There are moments when it's hard to love God, isn't it? Aren't there? He takes my Sundays. And they belong to me. I want that time, Lord. And my neighbor, oh, it's hard to love him. His dog barks all the time. He blocks my driveway. He puts trash into my trash bin. And he voted for Hillary. Or Donald. Unlike me, he's a wretch. I think I'll go hide in my church. Because it's hard to love my neighbor. You see, dear friends, that's why it happened. That's why it happened. That's why God sent forth His Son, His only begotten One, born of a woman, born under the law, St. Paul writes in Galatians 4:4. That's why it happened. He sent forth His Son because He was the only one who could do it in all of creation. He was the only one who could do it. He was the only one who could love God with a perfect love. He was the only one who could love his neighbor with an absolutely perfect love. And Jesus came indeed, born of a woman. Born to do what no one else could do. He was born to fulfill that law. And Jesus came. And he loved the Father with every breath, with every word and with every deed. And he loved his neighbor. Even those who were going to pick up stones to stone him. Even those who were driving the nails. He loved his neighbor with every word and with every breath and with every deed. And the Father said, finally I have one who has fulfilled all justice, who has fulfilled my law. That's why God sent him. To do what you and me couldn't do. And so, how does the Catechism say it? Through his active obedience, he fulfills the law. And through faith, an amazing exchange takes place. Grace comes. Indeed, through faith, God sees all that his Son has done. And through faith in him, he credits what he has done to us as if we had done it and pronounces us not guilty. Jesus fulfilled all righteousness for those who couldn't. He fulfilled the law for me and you. And then he took it one step further. He paid the price the law called for. And they took him. And after all of their secret meetings, and after all of their plots, they had him nailed to a cross. And I wondered to myself if those people could see what was happening behind the scenes. Those people standing on Mount Calvary, soldiers and Pharisees and weeping women. Could they really see what was happening behind the scenes? Could they really see it? For friends of Christ, behind the scenes was happening something absolutely amazing. Behind the scenes, God the Father was taking every sin that you committed and every sin that I have committed, and he put it squarely on his Son and said, I blame you for them. And he took every sin, every transgression, and every crime ever committed in this world throughout history, throughout time, and he placed it squarely on his Son and said, I blame you. You are the sinner. And then the Father turned away and the Son cries, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? Where are you, Daddy? Why have you left me? Why have you forsaken? And Jesus becomes the sinner in the sinner's stead, so that the sinners can go free. And he did it not out of cold, hard duty like the Pharisees. And he did it not out of selfish pride like the Pharisees. He did it because he loved you. He loves you with all of his heart. He loves you, his precious, precious lamb. And so, yes, through his active and his passive obedience, Jesus fulfills all righteousness. He keeps the law, dies its death in my place. I am free. You are free. Take the strength and the power of the Spirit and go out into that world. And dare to bring the victory of Christ into someone's life by loving them. There is a neighbor who's having surgery right now, and no one's mowing his lawn. Go mow it. Introduce yourself and mow it. There's a single mother somewhere who's trying to get through classes and who's struggling. She needs someone to love her again. Go love her. Go help her. There's a church member that used to sit in an empty pew, who life has destroyed. Go love him. Go love her. Let there be love in the house of God. Let there be love among the Christians. For we love because he first loved us. So let us also hold meetings and make plots and plans not to destroy, but to love the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear friends of Christ, one word sums it up. Love. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.